talking on pediatric emergency department visits in the United States. I'm from the CDC, National Center for Health Statistics, and these analyses were done with the help of Linda McKay, who's in the audience. So just as an overview, I'm going to talk some about the National Hospital Ambulatory Medical Care Survey, which I'm going to call the HAMSIS. I'm going to talk about how many children and adolescents go to the ED, where do they go, why they go to the ED, and what happens once they're there, and then I'll have a few take-home messages at the end. So just to give an overview of the HAMSIS survey, it's a survey of visits to hospital emergency department and outpatient departments. It's been in the field since 1992. On average, each year, we survey 480 hospitals, which yields 35,000 ED visits and about 30,000 OPD visits. So some about the methodology. This is a national probability sample. We go to non-federal short-stay general hospitals in all 50 states and Washington, D.C. We have a four-stage sample design, starting with PSUs, and then we sample hospitals within those PSUs, EDs and OPDs within selected hospitals, and then finally visits within those EDs and OPDs. It's a four-week reporting period, which means that we're actually in the hospital collecting data for 4 weeks. And these are some of our endorsement agencies. We enjoy a good response rate. The ED typically stays within 90%, and our OPD is normally within the high 80s. This presentation is a secondary analysis of ED visit records for persons under 18 years of age using the 2003 through 2005 HAMSIS. The last time pediatric data was analyzed in this way was 1992 through 94. And although we are analyzing visits to patients under 18 years of age, there were certain times when we broke them out further into subgroups. So the subgroups are less than a year, 1 to 4 years, 5 to 12, and 13 to 17 years of age. So how many children go to the ED? Annually, there are about 28 million pediatric visits to the emergency department. To get a rate, we divided those visits by the population of children under 18 and came up with the number that 38.4 visits per 100,000 children go to the emergency department. Our highest rate was for Black or African American infants under 1 year of age, and we came up with the number of 1.6 visits for each infant. And then on average, children and adolescents make up about 20 to 30% of all ED visits. So where do they go? The majority go to voluntary nonprofit hospitals, and a large number go to urban hospitals or MSAs. 28% go to level 2 trauma centers, and 52% go to what we call large volume EDs, and these are emergency departments that reported seeing more than 10,000 pediatric visits per year. 73% of children are seen in what we call general medicine emergency service areas, and only one out of five children are treated in pediatric dedicated ESAs, and there is some concern about whether or not a general medicine ESA has the equipment and the experience to treat pediatric patients. This graph shows the likelihood of arriving to the emergency department by ambulance, and the point that we wanted to show is that most of the teenagers 13 to 7 are the ones who are coming by ambulance. For this graph, we were happy to show that SCHIP and Medicaid has been increasing since 99 to 2000, so we thought it was interesting that our data would actually show this. But then on further analysis, we realized that our visit rate to the ED is not increasing, while Medicaid and SCHIP, that number is increasing. So just because the patients have insurance doesn't mean that they stop coming to the emergency department. So why do they go? As you can see, the majority of children come to the emergency department for diagnosis related to illness, but a large percentage, 39%, come for injury diagnoses. So this graph, we have broken out into the age groups again, like I spoke before, and we're showing the top five diagnoses for each group. As you can see, fever, respiratory illness, ear and mastoid illnesses are generally clustered around the under 1 year and the 1 to 4. And then when you get into the older ages, you start seeing more contusions and fractures and strains and sprains. This is another similar one, but it's focusing just on injuries. And as you can see with the younger children, like 1 to 4, you get more poisonings and there's a greater number of falls. And then with the older ages, the teenagers, you start seeing diagnoses related to assault. So what happens while the children are in the ED? On average, they spend 2.5 hours, about 50 minutes of that is waiting to see a physician, and 1.7 hours being treated. 10% see a nurse practitioner or physician's assistant, and about 9.2% do not see a physician the entire time that they're in the emergency department. We've been asked for outcome measures in our survey, and it takes a lot of, we've had to combine a lot of data just to get this number, that less than 1% of visits survive DOA, die in the ED, or need resuscitation. NSAIDs were the most frequently prescribed therapeutic drug class at 17.6%. And imaging was the most frequently used diagnostic service. About a third of the children got some kind of imaging service. So I put this slide together because there's been a discussion about whether or not children are being medicated for pain. And we used injury visits thinking those would be the more painful diagnoses. And we did find that even when the pain is documented, so these are moderate to severe pain that's been documented in the chart, still about 45% of the children did not receive any pain medication. And you can see that it's highest for those under one, and then it decreases as you go up in age. So this is a slide that's showing procedures. And overall, about 58% of children that come to the emergency department did not have a documented procedure while they were there. For those who did, the major category is other, and that includes CPR, endotracheal intubation, OBGYN, ENT, nebulizer treatment, and other forms of care. But the next group is wound care, and then IV fluid. And so this gives you information about what happens at discharge. For the most part, the children are told to either return to their primary physician or to return to their clinic for follow-up. The next group, sorry, I'm looking for my number, is returned to the ED if needed. And we wanted to highlight that only about 4.3 are actually admitted, and about 1.4 are transferred to another facility. So the gray sheet there is a supplement to the HAMSIS that was put out in 2002 and 2003. HRSA's MCHB requested that we provide this self-administered questionnaire when we went out to survey our hospitals to see if they had certain services and equipment for pediatrics. And the report that followed the availability of pediatric services and equipment was the analysis of this survey. And we came up with the number that only 5.5% of all EDs had all of the equipment that was listed in this supplement. That number was picked up by IOM and put into their report, and we got a lot of press, both good and bad, about that number. What did I want to say about that? But they also asked us other questions that we could pull from the HAMSIS data, but we hadn't done any analysis about that. And so that spawned this presentation, and we have a report that's coming out next year. So some of the take-home messages are that the HAMSIS can be used as an effective tool for monitoring trends in pediatric ED encounters. Collecting and analyzing such data can help fill in the gaps of understanding regarding the roles that EDs play in healthcare for children. And the results of this study may help policymakers model emergency medical services for children and adolescents. Thank you.
If you would stay, that'd be great. Yeah, stay with us. So we have about 4 minutes for questions. Shoot.
Do you have any sense of how many of the children who presented in the ED
Called
Hospital Poison Control
Centers? No. Can you say that one more time? I'm sorry. How many children who presented in the ED if their parents called Poison Control?
First.
first before coming to the ED. That's not one of the questions that we ask. Our survey actually is extracting data from the record, and so we only have a certain number of questions based on what we felt we were looking for, and that's not one of them. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? So if we can tell by our data how many should have come by ambulance but came by private. We do ask the question of how they came, and so there's more than just ambulance. It is if they came by private, if they came on their own. Yeah, walk-in. Thank you, Linda. But we don't have anything to determine which one is appropriate. If there's a scale, maybe by diagnosis of what would be more appropriate for which mode of transportation, we could analyze that using our data. But to my knowledge, that hasn't been done at this point.
Gordon Smith, and when you're looking at this response rate, you're talking more about the actual hospitals. Some of the hospitals refuse to participate because everything is record-based, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, that item is filled out, and what it is we actually put down the time that they came, the time that they were seen, and the time that they leave, and then we analyze it.
I'd like to ask about differences in outcomes. So the natural extension from the IOM report is that about 5 or 6% only of emergency departments have adequate pediatric resources. Is that right? Is that sort of the right number, 5.5%? So I guess I'm wondering, what does that mean with respect to outcomes if you split your population into adult-only EDs or all-comers ED versus a pediatric emergency department? Can you then look at outcomes differences with respect to pain medications and some of the other endpoints that you showed us? And would there be a difference?
You can do it in terms of adults or peds. Our data does allow you to do that. The 5.5% actually came from the guidelines that were agreed upon in 2001 by AAP and ACP. And it was just a list of equipment that they felt should be in the emergency department, available in the emergency department in case a child came. And all we did was just ask a yes-no question, do you have this piece or don't you? And then kind of added it up and gave a number. And I don't know if there's the same kind of list that's available for adults where you're saying you have to have this equipment in the ED if an adult comes. I'm not sure if there's that kind of list.
But can the two go together? Can you use this data to stratify between who is pediatric capable and who's not and look for differences in outcomes?
Yes.
But you haven't yet?
No, we haven't.
It's coming.
Okay.
Any other last questions before we move on to the next presenter? Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.